Okay, we're picking up with the new Mishnah, the top of Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ule Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov and Neshama Shenav Aliyah. So now the Mishnah is continuing in the discussion of different things that we can use to be able to be Matir Neder. So the Mishnah tells us, Poschin B'yamim Tovin Uveve Shabbasos, that we are able to find a Pesach to be able to Matir the Neder based on the Isser for a person to not be able to have meat and wine on Yontif. If a person makes a neder asking himself to have meat or to have wine for, let's say, whatever, a month or a year, whatever it might be, the Mishnah is telling us that we can say to the person, had you known that it's usher to make yourself suffer on Shabbos and Yamim Tovim, would you have made this neder? If he says that he would not have made the neder, so then we would be able to be matir the neder on this basis. We don't have to be concerned that he would again be too embarrassed to admit such a thing, because that's something that people generally make nedarim on. And if he really said, "Oh no, I really wanted to have the meat on Shabbos," that would be something which is going to be a reason to be matir the neder. Now it's interesting to note that the Ran and the other were shown on the recording here who explain like this that it's really about it's about wine or meat. It's very interesting. They seem to hold that there's like a chiyuv, you know, that on Shabbos, there's a concept of oneg Shabbos. A full-fledged chiyuv to have meat is not 100% pasha. When it comes to yomtiv, that's more room to assume that there might be a chiyuv of basar, maybe even daraisa. That's the shayla. The Rambam might hold like the shit is yachid, but yayin also definitely is more of a chiyuv on, you know, you need yayin for kiddush, but there is other way. On Friday night, you could have bread. But that's very interesting that these Rishonim assume that this is something which is part and parcel of the Iker of Oneg Shabbos, and therefore it can be matir based on that. Others explain, the Ritva explains, that no, that really he's saying that he was going to be fasting on let's say every Shabbos, he said something like that, or just a certain amount of days a year, he said he's going to be fasting, made an edder, he's going to be fasting. And that included Shabbos and Yontif. So then we say to him, hey, had you known that that's Usr, would you have done that? Then he could admit to it, he says, no, if I known it was Usr, I wouldn't have done that. And that works well with the Rishonim, the Rambam holds that there's Isser Dereisa to fast on Shabbos. The Rambam and Shavuos hold that way. So if there's a full-fledged Isser to fast, that actually lines up nicely with the Sheet of the Ritva, in his explanation that it's actually dafka fasting, not necessarily to have meat and wine, because that might be full chiyuv deraisa. You really can't tie it to chiyuv deraisa to have meat on Shabbos. It might be an oneg Shabbos, maybe kiyum, but to say there's a full-fledged chiyuv of basar is a little bit difficult. Okay, that's how the Rishonim explain Shabbos Yomtov. By Rishona Hayo Omer in the beginning, the Rabbanan assume that when a person makes this type of Pesach, Osen Neyami Matarim, that only were permitted in this nether were the days of Shabbos and Yontif. Ushar kol ayamim asurin. However, the rest of the days of the year would remain in effect asur because of his nether. However, ad shebar Rabbi Akiva velimed shaneder shehutar miklal utar kulo. Rabbi Akiva came and learned that there's a concept that if part of the nether is removed from a person, then the whole thing is going to be uprooted as well. And how do we know that? So it's not really, our Gemara doesn't really flesh this out. The Ran, quotes the Yerushalmi, explains nicely a drasha. The pasuk says in regards to nedarim, kikchol ayotze mipiv ya'ase, that a person should do everything that comes to his mouth. So this implies that the obligation is depending on kikchol, everything. He has to be able to do everything that's coming out of his mouth, meaning in order to be able to keep the neder, he has to fulfill the neder in its entirety. If a person is only able to become part of it, then according to Rabbi Akiva, based on this drasha, it uproots the entire thing. And so the Gemara says, Ketzad, fleshing out Rabbi Akiva now. How do we know, how is this the case? How does this happen? Amar, konim she'eni ne'ne lekulchem. A person sees a group of people in front of him and he says, a konim, a lashon of a neder, I'm not going to benefit from any of you. So the halacha is, hutar echad mehen, hutar kulan. That if one of them, like let's say one of them was his brother or his father, the Gemara brings the example in Daf Chavav, so then, he was really Daf Chavchei, somewhere around there, that the Gemara tells us there, that if one of them was his brother or his father, so then he didn't want to make the neder for them, so then if he doesn't want them to be involved in the neder, so then the entire neder is uprooted. Then the entire neder is uprooted, and therefore we don't even, you don't even need a taras tadarim from a chacham. It is mamela, it's considered uprooted because neder shahutar miktaso hutar kula. Now it's important to note there's actually machlokas how exactly this works. Rabba is under the understanding, and Daf Chavav over there, Rabba understands, it's machlokas, Rabba and Rava. Rabba understands that the Madir has to show that the words he used to make the neder were entirely incorrect. If he says, had I known that my father was part of the group, I would have said a different lashon of the neder. That's how Rabba is changing, and since he's changing his statement, that shows that the whole formulation is wrong. That's what Rabbi Akiva's understanding. However, according to Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva would agree that if he just says a lashon, he would repeat the same lashon of the neder and making the neder, but he just adds the words that had he known his father was there, he would have just excluded his father. He said, right, I would have just said konem, that I won't be benefit from any of you, and with the exception, chutz me'avi, except for my father. So then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that that neder is fully in effect, because the formulation is showing that there's no error in this actual formulation of the neder. Since the original formulation is standing, he just would have added this exception, that we don't apply the rule of neder shehutar miktaso hutar kulo. That was Rabba's understanding. Rava disagreed over there. Rava holds it, no. Even where a person would have added this tonight to it, he would repeating the formula, according to Rava, in that case, also, you don't change his words, that's still considered neder shehutar miktaso hutar kulo. Because Rabbi Akiva's understanding that even if we have a two-part statement, let's say, so then the ending words are the ikar point, and therefore, if I'm saying I'm not going to benefit any of you, and then you add in chutz me'avi, now since that indicates that the whole formulation was made in error, since the neder's formulation was wrong, based on the fact that you would have added in these words, according to Rava, even if you just, the lashon would have stated, just you would have added chutz, according to Rava, at the end of the day, that's something which is still going to be neder shehuta miktaso hutar kulo in das of Rabbi Akiva. So they had this machlokas, how to understand shita Rabbi Akiva. Fine. So the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, She'ani ne'ne lezeh ve'lazeh. If a person says a kohen, I'm not going to benefit from this one and from that one. And so he was specifying, I'm not going to benefit from Reuven, from Shimon. And then he didn't realize one of them in that group was his father. So hutar rishon, hutar kulan. So if the first one is going to be permitted, then all of them are going to be permitted. Hutar achron, however, if the last one, only the last one is permitted was his father, he didn't realize, achron mutar v'kulan asurin. And the last one is going to be permitted and the rest of them would in fact be usher. And again, over there, the Gemara explains, as the lashon of the Ran was over there, that uki lahasam kigon shetalan zeh bezeh. That in the Gemara explains on Daf Vav Amud Beis over there that the Mishnah is discussing a case where he explicitly made each one dependent on the other. He didn't simply say that the Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Rather, he said this one's going to be Usher like Reuven, and therefore, and then this one's going to be Usher like Reuven, like Shimon, and it was therefore going to be Tala. It was contingent upon the preceding ones, and therefore, if the Neder is going to be removed from the first one, all of them are going to be Usher. However, in the case where it's the last one, then we're going to assume Hakor Mutar V'Kulan Asurin that the last one would be in fact be permitted because he himself. Self is Usher, but the previous ones are all Tali on the first guy, and that one is still Usher. Hutar Emtsoi Emenu Lamata Mutar Emenu Lamala Usher. So this is a shayla if we have this kirsa, but let's just go with it, that if the middle one is permitted, anyone mentioned from him and below is going to be permitted from him, and above is going to be usher. Each of these nadarim was Taloi on the one that preceded it, and therefore, at whichever point, you're breaking the let's say the chain of people. So then at that point, those are going to come permitted, while those prior to that chain are not affected by this removal of the neder by the hataras nedarim, and therefore they're going to be usher. They're going to remain usher. So that's in the case where Rabbi Kiva would not learn neder shehutam. That's not an example, rather, of neder shehutar miktaso hutar kula. Now the Mishnah continues. She'eni ne'ne lezeh korban ve'lezeh korban. So if a person says that which I benefit from this person is a korban, and from this person is a korban. Tzrichin pesach lekol echad ve'echad. We require, if you want to do a taras nedarim, an opening for each and every one of them. Because you said the lashon of ze korban, this one is going to be a korban, regarding each person separately, the Madir seems to show us that each one is a separate neder, and therefore, two different nedarim would then require two different hataras. That's how the Rad explains that point of the Mishnah. Konim yayin she'ani tom. Now here's a different point. He says that wine is going to be usher. I'm not drinking wine. Shayin ran the Bible and explained in his neder because wine is very bad for his stomach. But they said to him, wait a second, when they were mad to the neder, they said, wait, don't you know that wine, that's old wine, aged wine, is very good for the stomach? Therefore, he becomes permitted in older wine because that was clearly made in an error. And that's the example, neder shehutar miktaso hutar kulo, that not just the aged wine is going to be permitted for this person, rather, all wine in the world, because the neder shehutar miktaso hutar kulo, and therefore all wine is going to be permitted for him. Konim, in a similar idea, konim batzal shenitoyim, with regards to an onion. He says, onions are going to be usher, why shabatzal ralalev? Because onion is very bad for my heart. Amru lo, halo, akufri yafilev, but wait, the kufri batzalim, or onions, are very good for one's heart. Hutar b'kufri, so the idea is that if he, since he's permitted in the kufri onion, because he didn't know that those were actually good for his heart. And that is not just with regards to the onions of kufri, but all onions would in fact be permitted, because again, neder shehutar mitaso hutar kulo, as Rabbi Akiva has demonstrated for us. Maisahaya, once was a time where the person madre the onions because they thought they were bad for his heart. Rabbi Meir bechol abitzalim, and Rabbi Meir in fact was matir him to eat all of the onions. So now the Gemara quotes the halacha of Rabbi Kiva. Hutar achron achron mutar v'kula nasurin. The last one is going to be permitted, and all the rest of them are going to be usher. So the Mishnah assumed that that when we said that the lashon that which I benefit from you is a korban from this person and that korban to require the separate a separate hatara for each and every person. The Mishnah is implying that only when you mention multiple mentions of the lashon of a korban, that's when you need to be matir the neder. So the Gemara is wondering, Main Tana, who holds that the separate mentions of a korban is the chiyuv to understand that we've now made separate nedarim. The lashon, because you said a korban on you, and a korban on you, that showed that it was two different nedarim, and that demonstrated it's two different nedarim, and therefore you would need two different hataras, two different uprooting of the neder. So the Gemara now says, who is the shita? Amar Rava, Rabbi Shimon. That is the shita of Rabbi Shimon. De Amar ad shiomar shvua lekol echad veechad. He's not going to be chayav for each person in the group unless he says, I swear to each and every person. What is Rabbi Shimon talking about? There's a Mishnah in Shavuos, and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, where the Mishnah tells us that if a person has a pikadon is I'm watching your item, and I swear that I don't have it, so Reuven swears he doesn't have your item, so that's what's called Shavuos HaPikadon. You violated an Isser Daraisa, you swore falsely, so the lacha is, you have to pay back the item, and also a chomesh, and bring an asham, so that's what's called an asham gzelos. So Rabbi Shimon tells us that this halacha, what happens if there's five different people who gave me an item? So, and it turns out that I swore falsely. So that's the shayla. It's a machlokas. Some understand that I'm chayev for each and every person who gave me a pikadam because I swore to all of them, and therefore I'm chayev five different korbanos and five different giving backs of the chomesh to each and every one of them. I have to add a chomesh to each and of their possessions. Rabbi Lezer tells us that he's only chayev if he uses the lashon of shvua to each one. Shvua for you, shvua for you, shvua for you. Rabbi Shimon tells us that he's not chayev unless he says shvua to each person individually. That's what Rabbi Shimon tells us, that you have to say Shvua to Reuven, Shvua to Shimon, Shimon to Levi, etc., etc. And Rav is telling us that just like Rabbi Shimon over there told us that you have to say to each and every one, so too when you make a Lashon of the Neder, and we're viewing it as two different Nedarim, that's only going to be when you say the Lashon of Korban or Konam, it's like a Konam to me regarding each person separately. If you say it regards to each person separately, that makes it into two Nedarim. Implied that if I didn't do that, it would not be two Nedarim, but viewed as one Neder, in which case we would be able to say the rule of Neder Shehutar Miktoso Hutar Kulo. So the only way to make it two separate Nedarim is using this Lashon of Konam, which we're saying is the Ashita of Rabbi Shimon, similarly in a parallel halacha with regards to Maseches Shavuos. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Kodim Yayin Sha'ani Toyim. If a person says wine should be a Kodim to me with regards to my tasting it, because wine is bad for one's stomach. So the Gemara says, they said it's very good for the stomach. Now the Gemara asks the question though, but typically, De'inra, now the fact his whole neder was saying that wine is bad for the stomach. So why don't the Mishnah just tell us that it's a mistaken neder simply because wine, even if it's not aged wine, any wine is not bad. If it's not bad, then it's not a problem. So then it should be enough to show that it's not necessarily harmful. Why do you have to tell us that it's dafka good? Or let's say specifically even about yain miyusha, let's say specifically about wine that's aged, it doesn't have to necessarily be beneficial as long as it's not bad, because his whole reason was ushering all wine in the world because it's all really bad for his heart. So the Gemara is saying that at the end of the day, stomach rather, they were not in the onions still now. They in the wine were saying for the stomach. So why just tell us that it's not bad for him and that should also be uprooting the neder. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rabbi Abba ve'od yafek tanim. It's just telling us an additional chiddush. Not only, meaning, had wine that's miyushan just been parv, it wasn't bad for his stomach, that also would be a reason to uproot the neder. And then, neder shuta miktoso, hutar kulo, so the whole neder would be uprooted. However, we're saying even further that no, even colder again, the fact that it's actually good isn't even nacha reason, even more of a reason to assume that the neder should in fact be not be chal with regards to old wine. And once it's not chal for old wine, it's not chal for anything. Now the Gemara continues, Konem batal sha'ani toyam sha batal is bad with regards to the lathe. So the Gemara says that the kufri is good for the heart. So the Gemara asks the same exact question. But typically, the ain ra, that at the end of the day, when it comes to onions, as long as they're just the kufri onions, as long as they're simply not bad for his heart, then it should be fine. Why does the Mishnah have to tell you that it's actually good for the heart. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, v'od yafek tana, just like we answered before, it's another reason, meaning you're right. Had onions just been okay and not bad for his heart, that would also be reason to be matir the neder, but kol shekein, that they're actually good for the heart, another reason to assume that we should be able to matir that neder, and once we are able to uproot the neder with regards to onions of kufri, we're able to matir all of the nedarim. Okay, now the Gemara continues another reason, other aspects of being able to be matir neder. Poschin la'adam mechavod atzma v'chavod banav. We're able to find a Pesach for a person to be matir his neder based on his honor of himself and his honor of his children. What do they tell him? Omer, we say to him the following. Ilo ha'yisa yodea, shilamachar omer malecha, kachi vestil shaploni megarva yisus nashav. That this is what they say about you, that look at this guy, he gets so angry, he divorces his wife. And not only that, but Masecha you omrim, that the Benos Gerusha said that these are the daughters of the forced women, we don't want to marry these people, it's going to be hard, they're going to have hard shiduchim. Maraz and Imash Elo Iskarash, also that. Why did the husband see in their mother? They're going to start talking about, making up rumors. The rumor mill is going to be kicking in. Maybe one of them was promiscuous. The woman was promiscuous. She was with other people. That's why he divorced her. And then the Madir said, had I known that, I would have never made the neder. Hare ze muta delacha is that it may be able to be mati the neder based on a Pesach. Konim shani, because if he assumed that I wouldn't want that to be said, then he's able to match that neder. Konim shani no says plonis ki'ura. Says that, we quoted this earlier, that if he says a kohen, I'm not going to marry her because she's so ugly. Varehi na'ah, she's very beautiful. Shchoyer, he says she's very dark. Varehi levana, she actually wasn't dark, she was very light, complex. Ktsara, she's very short. Vareiku, she's actually very tall. Mutter, but she's mutter to marry her. Because it's not a neder, it's neder betos. Lomni she ki'ura v'nasa, not because we assume that she was ugly and became beautiful, rather, shchor v'nasa levana, or she was light, became dark, k'tor v'nasa saruka, rather, she had neder toast. The whole reason that he made the neder was wrong. The metzius was, when he made the neder, that she was in fact based on a mistaken premise, and therefore it's a nidre toast, and not going to be chal. So the Gemara says, amayis ha'bechat sh'neder basa chosav anaya. So once happened that a person he made a neder that he wasn't going to marry his sister's daughter. There's an inyan that the Gemara in Yevama tells us is beginning to marry. In older times, they used to do this up until 100 years ago, Barach or whatever. Now that nobody does this, but and back then it was considered very nice. It was very nice thing Gemara talks about. So you're marrying a person's sister's daughter because he seemed that he thought she was ugly and he wanted to marry her. Fine. So the Gemara says, "V'chnisar lo Rabbi Shmuel v'yafur." Rabbi Shmuel brought her into the home, and he made her very beautiful. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel then brought her to the matir, and he said, "Bezu." He gave her makeup, give her a nice tooth, a golden tooth to put on, and she looked very beautiful. She said, "Is this the one that you wanted to be matir? You wanted to make the neder on?" Amar lo. He said, "No way. Lav lo. I didn't mean to invite her. She's so beautiful, this woman." Vayatir Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel permitted her based on the fact that she was very beautiful. So some understand that this is based on the concept that Rabbi Shmuel probably holds, that that there's something new. We're going to see based on the Gemara that there's maybe something new, and he would hold of a Pesach. Of Nolad, rather. Okay, we'll get to the Hemshech Gemara. I'll mention what I'm just saying now. But Osa Shah, Bachar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel cried. What did he say? Ve'amar, B'noz Yisrael, no'osein, elasha, anios melavates. Like, B'noz Yisrael, they're really beautiful. Every Jewish girl is so pretty. It's just that the ones who are poor, they're not able to beautify themselves properly. Shemes Rabbi Shmuel, hayu B'noz Yisrael, no'osos, kina, ve'omros. B'noz Yisrael, Rabbi Shmuel, bechina, ve'chenu, omer, be'shol. B'noz Yisrael, el shol, bechina. The daughters weep over shol. Also, he was helping the people. They helped every single person. The almanos and the somos, those people, and the poor ones, that he was crying over them, that he helped them so much to be able to take care, that they should be able to get married. A lot of big tzaddikim also, like the burdens of the klal, that they would they would take upon themselves very, very sincerely. I was just hearing a beautiful story about the Baba Rebbe of Shlemele, who survived the war. So there was an almano who was really sad because her kids were going off the derech. And he like davened for whatever, and like as soon as he left, he mamash started bawling on the floor, and he was crying for davening for her, and it wouldn't stop though. Like after like 20 minutes, half hour, he was going right there, he was still crying, and his child finally came in and asked him like, "Tati, what's going on over here? Like, you know, you cry for Klal Yisrael." So this one hurt me especially because this was like a remnant for all of Klal Yisrael that we are the Yisoymen, like we are the Almanas, we're the people who are. We're removed from Hashem. The Shekhinah is not with us so much, and then we're still going off the derech. Our children are off the derech, and he was crying so much because it's a bechina of Klal Yisrael. So he was saying that this is not just her; it's all of us. All of us have to work on ourselves. But he felt so much the pain of of this woman, this almana. Anyway, that's the Rabbi Shmuel, the big tzaddikim, always, they have always the klal on the forefront of their mind. So now the Gemara asks, wait a second though, when the case of Rabbi Shmuel seems to be against the previous ruling, because the idea with the woman is she's ugly only because she actually was beautiful. Here she actually was ugly, Rabbi Shmuel made her very beautiful. So the Gemara asks, Maisa, Listor, usually you bring a Maisa as a raya for the previous statement you just said, as we bring, oh, this happened, or Rabbi Kiva, this happened, or Rabbi Meir, as a proof for the previous point of the Mishnah. This Mishnah is asking it as a kasha. So the Gemara says, you're right, which we don't like to do, we have to amend the Mishnah, it's missing some words, and we have to add in the following, Rabbi Yishmael Oymer, afilu ki'ura v'nasis noa, shchoria v'nasis levona, k'tara v'nasis aruka, and that in the case where she was ugly and it became beautiful, or she was dark and she actually became light, she was short and she grew a lot, and all of those things we'd be allowed to be able to mimate the neder. According to this, Rabbi Shmuel is arguing on the Tanakama, and he also holds that when it comes to a nolad, we would be allowed to be able to mimate the neder. That's what the Rishonim explained, that based on nolad. I would say maybe it's not necessarily based on nolad, that every Jewish girl has the ability to be beautiful, she just needs some time to get better. It's not considered a nolad. She will be beautiful, every single one of them is very beautiful. Rabbi Wein has a very funny story where he was suggested a certain shidduch to a guy, and the guy said to Rabbi Wein, who's still in America, he said, "No, Rabbi, I'm really trying. You know, I'm like finding the most beautiful girl. It's not my look." He said, "Okay, fine, I understand." So then Rabbi Wein said, a few years later, he ends up coming with his kala to Rabbi Wein for bracha. They got engaged or getting engaged. And Rabbi Wein is very funny. He's like, no Jewish girl is ugly, but this girl was close. Like he was saying that this girl was so much whatever. Objectively, everyone has their own look. But anyway, but the point is, every single Jewish girl is able to be beautiful. Maybe it's not even considered a nolad. It's their own touch. But anyway, that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that Rabbi Shmuel argues on that point. And Maisa ben Nedra achaso v'etnusa Rabbi Shmuel v'yafua, and was able to be mati the Nedra on that point. Okay, turning on to the next topic now. Tana, so we learn in a brisa, Shin to Teves Aisala, that she had false teeth and therefore it didn't make her look good. V'as Rabbi Shmuel, Shin Shalzav Mishalo, he gave her a golden tooth and that made it look a lot better apparently than the tooth that she had. Kishach Rabbi Shmuel, Pasuk Le'ahu, Saftan Achi, Benosir Yishmael, Bechena, the daughter of Yisrael, whip over Yishmael, Mibshana Nashim, because he was the one who was, in the quote of the Pasuk, Mashina Shnei, Mamadanim Amalad, Ezaval, the Vushay, and the Pasuk over there in Shmuel, is talking about that to cry over Shaul, because he was also taking care of the downtrodden and the poor people who gave them clothing. So this also is the simulator of Rabbi Shmuel, similar to that. He was also taking care of everyone's last needs, taking care of the Hamon Am. Now the Gemara says, "Vaytar hu damar ledeviso konim she'iat neneli atshitemin tavshech l'Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Shimon." It's a very interesting story over here. He made a neder. He was very angry at his wife. And a konim not allowed to benefit from me unless you give some of your food. Go give your dish to taste Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. Now that's a bizarre lack of cover the Torah to go to them. So this is not a nice thing to do. Yet Rabbi Yehuda told him, Rabbi Yehuda tasted the food because he said, "Amar kavachomer." He says, "A kavachomer." Umala so shalom ben ishlish tamra tayrash mi shenichta begdushim achal my marim. So the halacha is, when it comes to the sota, the famous idea that you put in the whole lashonos of the pasuk, which has Hashem's name written in it, and you put it in the thing that she drinks, and the bitter waters, and she drinks them, and now it's going to be erased. Those waters are erased. So Hashem is erasing His name kavachol for shalom bayis. That's for shalom bayis, to make shalom bayis, because if she's really found to be innocent, then they're going to have shalom bayis, they're going to have children, and it's going to be good. So Hashem is willing to erase His name for such a thing, even for a suffix. Because maybe she's actually found guilty, she's going to die, and it won't be even a shalom bayis. So only if they found innocent, Hashem is erasing it, only for the case where she'll be found innocent. V'ani al-chasa, come on now, I should, who cares about my kavod? Hashem is willing to be mocha his kavod. I'm going to be mocha on my kavod. I'm going to be mochel on my kavod. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, however, he didn't agree with this far. Lo time. He did not eat it. Amar yamusu kol b'nei almana. That let the children of this widow die, meaning his children should die and he should be punished as a death. V'yizil Shimon imkomam. And kavod HaTorah is more important. He disagrees with the Svara of Reb Yehuda and the Sota, because in the case of the Sota, he's understanding, this is how the Rush explains, that when it comes to the Sota, the husband is at least acting L'Shem Shemayim. He is afraid that she cheated on him. She went to Yichud and she wasn't supposed to. She did things that were wrong, and he is following the halacha that he's not allowed to be with a woman who is cheating on him. So that's why he had done this. So he's L'Shem Shemayim. So Hashem says, for that person, I'm going to be uproot my name. But for a regular person like this, who's just an angry guy, let him die. And we know Kabbalah and Nadar and Van Mason, so he was punishing them. He was saying he should be punished. I was wondering, but why the woman didn't do anything wrong? That was interesting. Maybe he should die, well, not the woman. But either way, also, not only that, he's going to if I actually listen to this woman and eat, he's going to treat Nadar lightly and think everything, always his statement's going to come true. I'm not doing it, and she's going to be ushered to him, and that's his fault. So the Gemara says, a woman says to his wife, I'm swearing that you don't benefit me until you spit on Rabban Gamliel, which is again is a huge slight to Rabban Gamliel. Some of the Girsa Riff adds in Girsa Amr Rabban Gamliel, Asav Roki, come spit on me. Asav Rakak Avusha, she wasn't so brazen to even spit on him. Even when he gave her a shush, she went and she spat on his clothing, but not onto his actual body. So Rabbi Shimon was matir based on that. The Gemara asks though, Amr Le Ravacha Madifti Le Ravina, Veha, Hai Zilusa Kamechavin. So he said, but this the person is intending to embarrass Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And since that was intention, if you're spitting only on his clothing, that's not as embarrassing as he wanted as part of his tonight. So the Gemara says, Amr le mirak almane derabane derabgamliel zulusahi. No, even for this woman to spit on my clothing is also a very, very embarrassing to be doing. It's a bizarre and a cover of the Torah. And therefore, that also is going to be considered part of his tonight. And therefore, she should be mutter to him. Now the Gemara continues. A man said to his wife, that you're not a benefit from me unless you can show Bishmel something about you that's beautiful, something that's some positive aspect to you. They came before Yishmael and they tried every single thing. He says, Amar lahem, Shem Roshana, maybe she has a nice head. And lo Sagsagal. No, her head is very round, it's very ugly. Shem la Sara, maybe she has beautiful hair. Domel it's like Pishtan, it's very tangly, very ugly hair. Okay, Shema Inan knows. It's like similar like comb flax, which is very tangly. Shema Inan knows, maybe her eyes are beautiful. True, say no, they are very round and ugly. Shema Inan knows, her ears, Kfula say no, they're twice the size of normal people's eyes, like Dumbo ears. Shema Chut Manai, maybe she has a nice nose. Blumu, no, it's a closed nose, not looks ugly. Shema Shisosea knows, maybe her lips are beautiful. Avo say they're very thick. Shema Tzavara Na, maybe perhaps her neck is beautiful. Shakudu, it is very short. Shema Kresona, maybe her stomach area is nice. Tevo, it's bloated, she looks big. Shema Raglea knows, maybe her feet are nice. Rechovos, Kishel Azra, they're as wide as geese, they're really ugly. Shema Shmona, maybe at least her name, give her a beautiful name, like Zahava or whatever, somebody, Rachel, beautiful name. Lechluchis Shema, her name is Lechluchis, which sounds like, Lechluchis is like dirt, it sounds like dirt. So everything about her is dirty. Amar Lahem, Yafe Korinus Lechluchis. At the very least, her name is fitting her well. She, Melechluchis, Bemumin. She is, she's soiled with blemishes, meaning her, at least her area is chosen, her name is chosen well. And Vishayam, based on that, he was able to be matir. So maybe it's a famous story of the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi was the Sanegar of Klal Yisrael. He was always trying to limit schus. Like he would see people wearing tefillin while they were like doing their tailor jobs or they were fixing like a wagon and they were barely even making time for davening. He said, Bona Shalalam, look at your Jews. They don't even have time. They have no parnas and they have nothing. And yet they're putting on their tefillin and they're davening too, even in these circumstances. Like always trying to milamit. There's a famous story that he was going out and he saw someone smoking on Shabbos. Smoking on Shabbos, the person was a little fire and smoking on Shabbos. So he says to him, Rabid, you know, you have such a taiva to smoke. I'm sure that's why your taivas are so great. That's why you're smoking on Shabbos. He says, no, you know, I don't have such a great taiva. He says, okay, but you know, you didn't grow up from, and you know, you didn't have such. No, he says, I had a very from family. My parents were Yishmaim. I just decided to give into my taivas. And they said, okay, so you know, I see you're with the chevra over here of Goyim. They convinced you. You're with them. They're convincing you, and that's why you're smoking on Shabbos. And he said, no, they don't actually. They don't peer pressure me or nothing. I just do it. I come with them. I don't feel any peer pressure to be with them and fit in with them. And he kept trying, you know, three or four more different things. So finally, at the end, he said, "Rabbeinu Shalaylam, look at this tzaddik, this yid over here is a tzaddik." He said, "What?" He said, "He won't even tell a lie. Look at his midas emes. He wasn't even telling me a lie. He was being emes with me about violating Shabbos." Okay, very nice to remind me of over here. So like, at least her name fit her well. She found something that's good with her. Okay, one more last maisa. Bar Bavel the Selik l'Arad Yisrael. So a person who was from Bavel, who left Bavel, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and Nosiv Itasa, he married a woman over there. Amar, so they had a different Lashonos, so we're about to say, Amar le Bishli le Trey Talfe. He said, cook me a couple of lentils. Bishli le Trey Talfe. She cooked for him two lentils, because she understood it. In his lesson, he was speaking casually, a small amount, so he took it literally, and she only cooked two. Rosakali, he became so angry. Lamachar Amar la Bishli le Gura. Go, give me a crazy amount. He thought that she was so under, she didn't understand, so she had cooked a small amount, he cooked only two lentils, it's tiny. So he said, cook me an insane amount, a large amount, and she made a crazy amount, and had a lot of leftovers. So, and the Ben Yehuda explains that this time he didn't get so angry, he was just, he's gonna see in the Hemshech, he doesn't see Rasa Chalei, he got angry and yelled at her, because we see that a person's hungry, that's a lot more reason a person's gonna come home. It's a big Shalom Bayis tip. I actually saw something like a Ruzin already says already, that person shouldn't come home hungry. It's not Kedai. You should eat something, a small little thing, you don't come home hungry because you're going to be angry and be easily tipped off. That a person who's lacking the nourishment is much easier to get angry. As opposed to here, he was wasting and he was a little upset about it, but he wasn't full-fledged angry. Amar lasa, the instant there, zil isolate tre butzne. Can you go get me two melons? Butzne is melons. Azlat isolate tre shrage. Because butzine is the lesson of lamps. So they were misunderstanding each other, like different Lashonos, like an Israeli marrying an American. Amr lazil tavra yasun aresha de baba. Go break the top of the doorway. Bava. Aviyasi baba min buta. So she understood bava. So baba min buta bava vekad. Dain dini, he was a dain at the time. He was judging a case. Baba min buta, he was the god's old door. Azlos vetarvas yasun aresha. She took the thing and she broke it on bava's head, the doorway, and broke it on his head. Amr La Bavan Buddha said to her, Ma he didn't have, what are you doing? Amr La, she said to him, Kachin Bala, it's my brother, my husband told me, and he didn't figure out what was going on. Amr, Atasirsam Bailech, Hamakim Yotzim Nechshne Banim Kebaba Mambuta. Hashem should give you a bracha. Shem Tuzai Baba Mambuta. He said, yeah, tremendous godless. God just broke a thing on his head. How angry would you be? Like when a person, you're like walking on the street, someone like, knocks into you, and then you see it's your friend, you give him a hug, but like if it wasn't your friend, you get so annoyed. And he wasn't angry at all. His tzitkus over here, and he's able to be, go around the kas. Let me start trying to quote this actually, this Gemara here, but Midas the kas. Anyway, we see over here the godless of Baba Mambuta, and it's Hashem we should learn from these Maestri Tzadikim. With that, we're fidgeting in Hajjan Alach Rabbi Lezer, Hajjan Alach Rabbi Lezer, Hajjan Alach Rabbi Lezer. Mir Tzashem will pick up with Nara Marasa, Mir Tzashem, in tomorrow's daf.